There, did it! Did all that of them. Did all the holes.
Good. Welcome to Radio Free School.
Don't you fold your paper? Now do it another million times.
Million?
A million.
Yeah.
Your whole
paper?
Pile of paper has to be folded in half. These are going to be the pages of our books.
So then these are two pages at a time, right?
Yeah.
It's going to take a long time.
So Mike, do you do comic strips or stories?
Neither. I like to write poetry.
I do both.
Do you?
It's stupid alien comic strips.
This one's kind of nice. He's a nice alien, but he's very dumb.
Yeah, he's very dumb. That's why I called him a stupid alien.
Don't fold more than one at once, because you'll when you fold it, it'll be like slightly off. So when you do a big chunk, it'll sort of look like that. And then your page is a little wonky or whatever.
Okay, so that's 12. Counting in twos.
7.
I finished. What else?
Okay, we can do since you're finished. You have to get three pieces, like three sheets. Get three sheets, and you have to put those together.
12.
Three.
So put them the way you just had them into a little book of three. And in the crazy bookbinding world, they call that a folio or a filo or something like that. Each one of these is called a folio, and yeah, this is called a signature.
So that's called a signature when it's three.
Yeah. Really, you can have a signature made up as many or as little pages as you want. It's just for this, they generally use three.
Auntie Patricia, she was, I think, 9 or 10, she made this one book.
Sam and Sally.
Sam and Sally. The Naughty Twins.
Uh-oh. So if you want to make all of
them. I did all three of them. Now one.
Put them together.
Eva,
no, open them up and put them in one into each other.
Two.
And once you've done that, just
paper.
Until you
put that paper, is that like a special paper or no?
The white paper I have is just computer paper. This sort of green paper is like hempy paper, which I got at Christine's store. And you can use construction paper or whatever you want.
My name's Julia Hainer-Vuland. I'm 23 years old. I'm from Virginia, and I've been a part of the what we're called is Projet Mobilive, Bookmobile Project, bilingual names. We're based both out of Montreal, Quebec, and also Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And we're a program, we're a group of collectives, and we've been going for about 4 years. And what we do is we get a collection artist books, zines, and independent publications, and we tour around the United States and Canada giving workshops on how to make zines and handmade books, as well as showing off our collection of books that we get sent to us and selected by an independent jury. The project, we've been doing it for about 4 years. We've had 4 tours, and what we do is we have a collection of about 300 artist book scenes and independent publications, which are sent to us by a submission process, and we select an independent jury, which then selects the works. We get about 500 or 600, and then from there we choose about 300, and those are the collection that gets to travel with us throughout our 4 months of touring throughout the year. And while we tour, we have a converted 59 Airstream trailer, which was converted by Freecell, this design company in New York City, for free. And, people get to come in and check out our collection, you know, use their hands, take it out of the bags, and also we give workshops where we get to teach people of all different communities how to make zines and also handmade books like sewn on tapes or buttonhole, and also accordion, different sorts of fun alternative forms of books. I think any sort of alternative form of anything is something that can bring a lot of curiosity from a you know, a variety of people, because books are something that are a part of our life from the start. However, when you get to look at a different form of a book, one that's handmade, for example, that uses various forms of media like silk screening or sewing, or it's from the eye very captive. And it's also about the idea of having books that are made by individual people, which can have, you know, a various sort of format and subject and text and stuff like that. And so what we're trying to do is show different communities how different people kind of have what takes they have on the idea of what a book is. So this way we can come in and, for example, have a book that's made by a mother and a daughter, for example, we've had in their collection before, and the different sort of subject matter that people choose and decide what's worth making a book out of. When we think of like a zine, like I've taught classes before, and I always kind of ask kids, like, what do they think of when they think of a magazine? And we think of normally as like Sports Illustrated or Time Magazine or National Geographic, and you have to like look at those things and you realize they're glossy pages, they have editors, they have advertisements. And then you kind of compare that to maybe a photocopied zine that's coming from some teenager's basement that they're just making on their own, and you're going to think about what's the subject and what are people kind of deciding like what they want to publish and share with other people. And what you find in those zines are not what you're going to find in everyday kind of magazines. So a lot of times you have the mainstream opinion or view, and they're not going to share what all the ideas of people that might find themselves marginalized or have different opinions or whatnot. What we try to do is reach a diverse community. So, for example, we've been before to like old folks' homes, to community centers in different parts of the neighborhood, to then going to the art gallery and then going to the art school where the kids are all, you know, upper middle class artists. So it depends totally on the community that we go to. But it seems that everywhere I've been so far, we've always been received with very sort of curious eyes. And if people who, we have kind of two sort of communities, one who's already well aware of kind of what we're doing, people who are very into underground zine culture or into artist books. And then we also run into a lot of kind of community members who have never seen a zine or an art book before, but at the same time are equally or even more excited than those who are already well aware of what we're up to. The workshops, it depends on the venue and who books us and what the space is. But basically we have a variety of workshops that we can give. We have a zine making workshop where I've run it before. I like to have the people who come to the workshop, then they decide what size, what sort of format, whether or not people like to, some groups like to have a common theme run throughout, or some people like to just each do their individual page and then put it all together and see what everyone comes up with. So that's like a zine making workshop. It's sort of much more of a free kind of format where we give a history of zines and then we just kind of let them go crazy with cut and paste, drawing and stuff. And then we also do workshops. We can also have a workshop where we do a variety of smaller, easier, quick, handy-dandy books, where something called like the accordion, which is all one page but just sort of folded in the accordion format, or something with very easy, quick sewn binding. To we also do workshops of harder, more complicated binding where we provide the materials. It's all donation, which is like sewn on tapes, for example, or buttonhole, where it's more of a meticulous process. We have to use thread and needle and follow directions and make marks and make sure the lines are clean. But it's a variety of different workshops that we can offer to different communities. It depends, like, for example, we've been to old folks' homes before. It's more likely we're going to probably give how to make a photo album, because it's what the community and what the people want. Like, old folks might be more interested in doing a photo album, for example, or if they make a memory book rather than like, hey, doing a cut and paste DIY zine. So it depends on like what the community wants we can offer them.
If I wrote down my feelings for you, they'd probably fill up an ocean or two. But in the end, I decided to list the ABCs of you. I think you're A1 grade, A beloved and beautiful, capable, caring, delightful, dependable, enjoyable, excellent, fascinating, fabulous, a gift, a gem, genuinely generous, honest, high grade, impressive and interesting, a jewel, a jackpot, kind-hearted and a king, laudable, likable, marvelous, magnificent, naturally nice, one of a kind, pleasing, priceless, queen-like in quality, rare in radiance, scintillating, splendid, superb, sensational, trustworthy, talented, tender, and tasteful. Unique, unprecedented, very, very valuable, worthy, welcome, extraordinary, exceptional, yes, 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 you, 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 you're one in a zillion. I'll tell you what, I'll sing the first part, and then you sing the second part. Ready? Here we go. I think you're A1 grade A.
Beloved, beautiful.
Capable, caring.
Delightful, dependable.
Enjoyable, excellent.
Fascinating, fabulous.
A gift, a gem.
Genuinely generous.
Honest, high grade.
Impressive and interesting.
A jewel, a jackpot.
Kind-hearted and a king.
Laudable, likable.
Marvelous, magnificent.
Naturally nice.
One of a kind.
Pleasing, priceless.
Queen.
Rare in radiance,
scintillating, splendid,
superb, sensational,
trustworthy, talented,
tender and tasteful,
unique, impressive,
very, very valuable,
worthy, welcome,
extraordinary, exceptional,
yes, yes, yes,
you.
You want an Aussie?
You've got it. Now everybody try it this time, a little faster. I think you're
A1 grade, beloved and beautiful, capable, caring, delightful, dependable,
enjoyable, excellent,
fascinating, fabulous,
a gift, a gem, genuine and generous,
honest, high grade,
impressive and interesting,
a jewel, a jackpot, kind-hearted and a king,
laudable, likable, marvelous, magnificent,
naturally nice,
one of a kind,
pleasing, priceless,
queen-like in quality,
rare in radiance,
scintillating, splendid, superb, sensational,
trustworthy, talented, tender, and tasteful,
unique, unprecedented, very, very valuable,
worthy, welcome,
extraordinary, exceptional,
yes, yes, yes,
you. You're one in a zillion.
Roll call! Come along now, you're late for parade! Rip, rip!
You are listening to Radio Free School.
Discipline
on CFMU.
Yeah, all inside each other, everyone did that. The second one I put on top instead of inside, but it was the same thing.
I put all of mine inside.
Yeah, you just want to have it. You want them separate. Okay. Like that. But we want to open this up. And then put that one in. Yeah, perfect. So if you look at this, the one that I did yesterday, you can see there. These are like, each one of these is one of these. So they're just sewn together, like, on top of each other.
There, little three of them. It's easy. Great. So far. Yeah.
Actually, the hardest part I find is threading the needle. So if you're good at threading a needle, then you're that much better at this than I am.
I make tiny needles.
Get your little, this piece of paper, and we gotta fold that in half now, too.
In half, right?
Yeah.
This is like cardboard.
Yeah.
Is it cardboard?
It's sort of like cardboard.
And tent paper, apparently.
Ready to sew.
I'm just determined to do the pictures in the book.
Someone wants to cut this for me. Now it's about balancing. It's easier for you two because you guys have flat edges of your table. You're gonna get your ribbons. And we're gonna put them about a quarter or a third of the way. You wanna put it on the edge of the table. So the half the ribbon is hanging over the edge, and half of it is just sort of sitting up top. You need to have this edge, like the bound or the fold, pointing towards yourself. I'll hold this if you can put the other one down too. Two of those, one on either side of your ribbon.
On both ones?
Next to both of them, yeah. Right at the sort of spine of your piece.
Right
of
the very right.
So you put
corner.
A dot, yeah. Or a mark right here and right there, on, and then on the next one too.
Like right against, yes. Like where the fold is, right? Down here, and then on the side?
Yeah.
Down low, right down there.
And then on the other side right of it?
There. About halfway between the end of your piece of paper and that first dot you made. Make another dot and do the same on the other side too. About halfway. Like, these are just the marks that we're going to be using to put holes in the paper. Sometimes I like to get a little piece of tape. Make little marks just right at the edge. So with each one of your signatures, so if you're three pieces of paper, I also like to get a piece of tape and just sort of tape them together because when you hold them later, they sometimes sort of move around a bit. And if we're going to be punching holes through the spine, if they move around, then you have a hole over here, and then if you move it, it's like way over here. Yeah. So, and I've tried this with both of these, and the tape does come off this paper rather easily, so we don't have to worry. Just little pieces of tape, again, like we did there. Just needle.
Mm-hmm. Get your needle.
So
you have to punch a hole first.
Right where you've made your little marks on your cover, yes, or your guide here, is where we're going to punch our holes. And we want to do it right on the fold.
Yeah, like right on the hole? Like right on the fold.
Side right here.
Yeah, we don't want to do it like that. We want to do it like this.
Okay.
On all the little dots we want to... I have to go in a couple times.
I can get it in every other place except up here.
Good job.
You want help?
There, did it.
Did all the of them? Did all the holes?
We should be touring with three people is our wonderful magic number. We have a van, and that is what takes our beautiful trailer with us. But the van, Pippi, has a nice futon in the back, so we ask our host venues if they could provide us a place to stay and delicious home-cooked meals, but a lot of times sometimes it doesn't happen. It's not that hard. The biggest problems I've found is, for me as a tour guide, this past tour I had to tour with two people. That's just due to a lack of, it's not a problem, but the fact of the matter is it's a collective and we're not getting paid to do this. It's what we do with the time that we have when we're not doing our day jobs, whatever they are. So a lot of times our tour guides, it's kind of like, how can you fit in your couple weeks of vacation where you have to go on tour with another sort of project? So this time we had two people and that was a little tougher. But normally it's very fun because I'm a people person and I love going and exploring new communities and meeting a bunch of new people who are interested in the project. My only biggest pet peeve, I must say, is when we go to a venue and it's the venue who hasn't sort of pulled their weight that we sort of ask them to. Because this is all sort of volunteer work on our side, when it comes to publicity or getting the word out, it's we really kind of rely on our host venue because we're too busy on the road to be sending out, being around town to flyer ahead of time or to get the word out. Mm-hmm. So but my biggest bummer is when I go to a place and not too many people know about it. But other than that, I'm having fun kind of exploring town, so, and meeting a lot of people. So it's always been, I've never had one stop where I'm just like, well, actually, no, wait, Las Vegas, wish I wasn't there. Because we were in the middle of this parking lot out of this cafe, this coffee shop, which was quoted as liquid culture, right next to a place called Doggy Style Hot Dogs, in a strip mall, and it was Las Vegas, which is for me the epitome of money culture, so it was a stop that was definitely one that I could have marked off the tour, but that's other than that, I've had an awesome time. And the first time I went, it was this neophyte going and jumping into the van in San Francisco, California, going all the way down to San Diego, part of this awesome, that's a wonderful example for me is the difference. For example, I just gave you that grim explanation of what Las Vegas did to us. But on the other hand, we had just come from San Diego, where we had met these wonderful people who went to a alternative media conference and heard about Bookmobile there, and were so excited about Bookmobile, they asked us, please come to San Diego. And so we did. And when I went there, it was the second year we went to San Diego, and this woman who was there made this wonderful extreme effort, like with the hand in hand with indie media down there. She put on this zine expo for San Diego. So when we went there, we were part of this already going kind of zine thing that she put on. So that way we were able to meet the zine community down in San Diego, and they had their own sort of booth set up to share with each other in a zine reading. So I think it was great that the Bookmobile helped come and got to witness what was going on in San Diego through the efforts of these people that were very dedicated. The collective is about 20 to 25 people scattered. There's a large, we have our bases in Montreal and Philadelphia, but we also have these sort of satellite helpers. Like, for example, I'm in Virginia, and people are also in Pittsburgh and New York and Vancouver. And so I'm definitely going to keep going with this project because I'm a big believer in spreading independent media and thought. I think the Bookmobile is doing a really good job at it. For me, this is something I did outside of Bookmobile, but using my knowledge from Bookmobile, when I taught a class of 4th and 5th grade kids in Arlington, Virginia, I did 2-week course making zines and art books with them. And the fun thing is I would always have this everyday sort of class message that we do in elementary school, and I asked the kids the first day of class, do you guys think that you're writers? I made them do journals and stuff. And when I asked them that question the first day, most of the kids said, no, I don't think I'm a writer. And I'd be like, why not? And the kids just didn't have these sort of experiences of considering themselves writers because everything's sort of guided writing, right? But then by the end of the 2 weeks, after the kids made at least 2 zines and then also about 4 different sort of books, I asked them again, the class, do you guys think you're writers? And then almost everybody who raised their hand and shared with me all thought they were writers because of the fact that they made zines and they made these books, like the kids went crazy for pop-up books. And the best part is when I talk to the kids, and they're like 4th and 5th grade kids, I was like, some of them are just like, I taught my mom how to make a pop-up book, or I taught my Girl Scout troop how to make a pop-up book. Like, they led their own little workshops, and then some of them were even like, I'm going to make a zine every month about a new topic, you know? And this is just from a 2-week course that kids were starting to believe at you know, ages of 9 and 10 that they consider themselves writers. And for me, that's like the sort of happiness and sort of idea of, like, I think what the bookmobile tries to get at, that everyone is able to make a book and everyone can consider themselves a writer. And the idea that everyone has a voice, whether it shouldn't be marginalized at all, and it should be one that should be heard and shared. We're going to go on tour again. What we've been doing, we started this last tour is a regional tour because we're a van hauling this trailer. We're about the size of 4 parked cars. It's a lot on our gas. The first couple of tours we did going all the way from, Vancouver to the East Maritimes and then across the U.S. So this last tour, what we tried is doing a regional tour, and we focused on the northeast of the United States and then Quebec and the Maritimes and eastern Ontario. And this time we're going to be going into focusing on the south of the U.S. Unfortunately, Canada, it's such a huge country, and there's so much space between cities that we realized that doing a regional tour in Canada is not too logical. So we're actually going to go, I think, all the way to Vancouver. So we're going to be touring again in March, April, and then in the fall too. So for people to check it out, we're booking it actually. If they want to contact us, you can contact us at info@mobilive, MOBILIVRE.org, and our website is www.mobilive.org.
You are listening to Radio Facebook on CFMU.
Hello, my name is Evelina Kay, and I'm going to read my book I made called The Warrior and the Healer. I'm not going to read the whole thing, I'm just going to read a little bit. Chapter 1, Eowyn and Arwen. Eowyn ran like she had never run before. If she had ever been scared, it was now. An arrow whizzed past her head. She lifted her own, much smaller bow, which had an arrow already in place. Without looking back, she pulled the bowstring and fired her arrow behind her. She heard a cry, but still she did not look behind her. Instead, she ran on. A pile of jutting rocks loomed up in front of her. She knew this place. She was at the border of Rohan. There was a cave somewhere in those rocks. If she could just reach them. She reached out her hand and grabbed a thin, sharp rock. Her palm started bleeding, but she knew she had to go on. She swung her legs over the rock. There was the cave. Blindly, she ran on, right into a person. She heard another cry. It was the someone in the cave. "Who is it?" The someone yelled. "Shut up," Eowyn said, in a hoarse whisper. "Oh, that hurts," said the someone, when Eowyn kicked her to see if she was not imagining things. Suddenly there was a flaying of arms and legs as the two of them tumbled down the slope of the cave into total darkness. When they finally reemerged, Eowyn had tooth marks on the upper part of her right arm, and Arwen, daughter of Elrond, for that is whom she was holding her head. I'm going to put way more pages in here. It's going to be like around the sides of Lord of the Rings, because Eowyn and Arwen are from Lord of the Rings, just like Frodo and Pippin and all that. They're all from Lord of the Rings, but I'm making like their childhood, so she's 14.
When you were making the book, is it hard?
No, well, actually, it was kind of difficult, but it wasn't that hard. You sew the book together. See, there's some string. It kind of goes unperfect sometimes. But I learned you have to make the cover of the book bigger than the pages itself so that the pages aren't showing, because otherwise they stick out because there's so many. So I'm going to probably make a bigger cover for the next one. And my pictures are going to be black and white, and there's not going to be that many, so I can photocopy mine quicker and easier and less money and all that. On page 6, I'm planning to make a picture.
Hello, my name is Madeline Kate. I'm going to read my book I made called The Girl and the Unicorn. And I illustrated it, and I thought of the story, and Daddy read it. So. Once there was a girl, her name was Guinevere, and she was 12 years old. She was going to school. Of course, she didn't want to, but she was forced. A whole bunch of kids were behind her. They would see her if she ran to the woods, but she knew she could dodge them. So she ran into the woods. She slowed down as she heard a crashing noise coming behind her, and suddenly it stopped. She turned around, there was nothing there. She turned around to follow the path of the willow wood. It was called Willow Wood because of all the willow trees it had in it. She ran to find a decent spot to eat her lunch, which was meant for school. She was so excited. She would have 3 days off instead of two. She found a nice place to eat her lunch. It was not too sunny and not too shady. It was not too brown and crackled, and it was not too blue and wet. She had lots of sandwiches and lots of apples and, of course, one banana. She couldn't wait to get home. She knew her friend Daisy would invite her for a swim at the water right beside her house. Her friend Daisy was swimming when she got home. And Daisy called out in the middle of front crawl, "Would you like to join me? Ask your mother if you can." Guinevere nagged her mom so much that her mom said yes. Her mom said, "I'm going out, darling, and your older sister Tina will take care of you." "Okay," said Guinevere when she went outside to swim. By the time she got there, Daisy was gone. Gone, gone, already gone inside. But she thought there was no point in going in. She wanted to swim anyway. She swam and swam and swam for a long time. Soon she noticed her 7-year-old jealous brother looking out the window. His name was Michael. She decided to move to another pool where she would not be spied. By the time she got out of the pool, it was sunset. She dried herself off, then she looked around and decided to go home. She looked around for her clothes. They weren't there. She cursed herself. She had forgotten her clothes in the house. She had to walk a mile home without her clothes. She sighed. She said to herself, "I can make it home before the dark," but her guess was wrong. She got home in the nighttime. It was dark and cold. She saw lights blinking from TVs and heard faint music from houses. She opened her door and a rush of light flew into her face. She stepped in. She saw people waving at her. "Hi," she said to her family. "Guinevere, everybody else. It's you." Guinevere asked, "Is Mom and Dad here yet?" "No," said Tina. "We're not home yet." Her little sister was on the floor making a picture. "Do you want to watch TV? It's your favorite show," said Michael. "No," said Guinevere. She stormed halfway upstairs. She stopped to listen. She waited for her dad to come home. He came home in a few minutes. "Hello," he said. Everyone rushed into his arms, except for Guinevere. She was hiding. "Where's Guinevere?" asked her dad. Her older sister, Tina, said, "I don't know. She said earlier that she was going swimming, but she still hasn't come home." Guinevere still waited on the steps. Then her dad started calling for her. Tina gave her a wink. Guinevere tiptoed around to the back and went out the door. She came around the front and walked in. Her dad said, "You're finally home. I was worried about you." She went to her desk and turned on her lamp. She heard her mom come home. Her mom would always come upstairs and make sure all the kids were sleeping and snoring in bed. Quickly, she jumped into bed and started to fake snore. Then she remembered she didn't snore. Quickly, she shut herself off from snoring. Just in time. Her mom came into the room. She heard her mom say, "Good," and went out. And she went out of the room. Guinevere thought, "She really is sleepy," and went to bed. The end!
I'm gonna wrap myself in paper. I'm gonna daub myself with glue. Stick some stamps on the top of my head. I'm gonna mail myself to you.
Contact Radio Free School at grassroots@hwcn.org. Or mail P.O. Box 19, 1280 Main Street West, Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, L8S1CO.